All right, Tuesday. It's only Tuesday. It's April 23rd. You have some fun stuff. Might get a little chippy today. We're talking about GM smiling, Tesla's fuel toggle, and consumers being over-surveyed. Is that a thing? Is it possible to be over-surveyed?
Yes.
My opinion.
I feel as though it is.
Do you feel over-surveyed? Yeah, we'll talk about it.
There's so much chippiness to get after.
There's a lot of chippiness on the internets right now. I mean, there usually is, but I mean, I feel like in the auto circles, there's a little chippiness.
There's always a little bit of chippiness. Hey, yesterday, it was unbelievable. You had this idea in the morning to basically create a billboard for everybody that was going to a SodaCon. And like by noon, I'm on LinkedIn and it's like, that person's going. Oh, everybody. Oh, I see. The whole world is going to a SodaCon. Got it. It was great.
You know, so like maybe from like, hey, we want people to know a SodaCon is going to be a thing. There's a part of it. Like it started out just with the graphic. And then it ended. They're seeing it on billboards. And right. I don't know, maybe people will make their own. But hey, if you're coming to a SodaCon, by the way, and you haven't gotten one, let us know. Just reach out. What's the best way to reach out? If you know us personally or haven't met, just text or email. If
not, on LinkedIn.
Crew@asodu.com.
Message us on LinkedIn as a Sodu.
We'll get you one.
Crew@asodu.com. There's a whole bunch
of ways. But here's really the founding principle to why that billboard thing is authentic to who we are. Is because we think every person going is a big deal. Because they're a part of the conversation that is moving the industry forward. Right. So everyone should know that person's going to be there. And that person is a reason that other people should go to a SodaCon. So I don't know. In my mind, can you imagine if like people are driving from the airport? It's only like 10 minutes from the airport, if even. Hit the BWI airport, head south toward Annapolis. And can you imagine if we actually had billboards up? Or people... Next year. Wasn't in the budget this year. Next year, a couple billboards on the way.
This is random. Like 2 years ago, we wrote this and we've kept it on the site since then on the SodaCon site. It says, attendees not welcome, participants welcome.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, we do not want people that are just going to attend, sit back, look at it, hope they get something, right? Like the active participation of being in community at the event is integral to the success of everybody and the event.
Yeah, we're so excited to be there with you. I want to thank our co-presenting sponsors, collaborators, Reynolds & Reynolds, Goobagoo. Thank you so much for helping us make that happen. Looking forward to spending some time with you, particularly there. Going to have a great time. Get your tickets at SodaCon.com. You still can. We still have some space. Hotel maybe has a room left. They keep drip feeding us up. We keep saying we're out, but then they're like, here's like sprinkle of more. We do have over 200 rooms in this hotel booked already just for a SodaCon attendees. So it's going to be a blast. If you're an industry partner, join the conversation. If you're a dealer, come join the conversation and we'll do the thing together. All right, let's talk about some news. Here we go.
Let's go.
Good news. GM is smiling. General Motors is kicking off 2024 with a robust financial performance, boosting full year guidance. After a stellar first quarter, their net income soared by 24% in Q1, reaching almost $3 billion, driven strong vehicle demand, especially in North America, where revenue hit a first quarter record of $36.1 billion. Wow. They adjusted their earnings before taxes and interest to $3.9 billion. They're raising their full year EBITDA or EBIT by $500 million. So like everything's smiling right now, despite new vehicle prices dipping a little bit. Their pricing is stable, good sales, but like of the Chevy Trax, the Buick Envista, you know, you say what you want about Buick. That is a cool looking car.
That one is the one cool one. I'll give it to him.
I looked at that. I was tracking it on the highway the other day. I was like, what is that? I was like, it's a Buick. Okay. I see you. They've been doing cost cutting measures. It is. Go check it out. Cost-cutting measures, over $300 million in reduced fixed costs from marketing and engineering, on track to meet their $2 billion reduction goal by year end. Mary Barra, CEO, said, globally, our team is leaning into every opportunity with a focus on profitability to build on our strong start to 2024. So lots of smiles.
Let me ask you something. Do you think all of that profitability and growth came from EVs? Oh, so
no, they just managed it well.
They managed it extremely well.
You know why else they're smiling just a little bit bigger?
Why they smile?
Is because the VW plant in Chattanooga is now unionized.
Yeah, they're like,
they're like, Welcome to the club.
Look, I'm impressed. I remember back in Q4, they kind of like made a few adjustments. They talked about how that they were going to go come into market this year a little bit different. You look at some of the products that they're coming out with, obviously much more attractive than what you've seen, especially from the Buick line. And like kudos to Mary Barra and her team for pivoting, despite the hassle with, you know, all of the talks last year with the UAW, despite the issues with EV, kind of losing a little bit of traction and still making a profitable first quarter. Like, I'm smiling because that's good news for the entire industry.
Sure is. Sure is. Speaking of, I can't say this is good news for the entire industry, but speaking of news, the industry is paying attention to
Segway.
Probably gonna be a lot more conversation on this, but basically, we're calling this the Tesla toggle. Earlier this week, Elon Musk tweeted out a image on X that said it had a picture of a Model Y, like the shadowy picture. It said starts at $29,490 in big, bold white print. And then in really, really skinny white print underneath, some might even call it fine print. I can't even read. I got to get close. This is after U.S. federal tax credit and, here's the kicker, estimated fuel savings. So basically, whoa, this was reflected on the website. When you go to the website and look for a Model Y, it has this. And then until you flip the little toggle switch over, the actual price shows up. And when you adjust your payments to toggle back and forth, the price changes. The big question is, could a dealer get away with this?
Okay. One, could a dealer get away with this, or dealers en masse? Probably not. We know the reasons why. Two, I will say Tesla has been doing some of this like gas savings, fuel economy stuff for quite some time. Mm-hmm. I think the big difference now is that though they've had like versions of toggles or gas savings as compared to the pricing or the monthly payments of the cars on the website for quite some time now, the big difference is now they're utilizing it to share an actual low price point. They've attributed that gas savings to the price.
To show a low starting price.
Literally exactly why the CARS rule is in place and trying to come to the table. And so this is like a mass market brand that has a lot of foothold in the political landscape, basically like holding up the middle finger to the CARS rule that is still yet to be in place, but is would definitely have something to say about this.
Yeah, so, I mean,
kind of wild.
I made a post about this yesterday with a little video watching the toggle go back and forth. And I had a few thoughts as I was on the Tesla site going through the purchase experience. Number one, it's an amazing purchase experience.
It's so easy.
Let me just say, I almost bought a Model Y by mistake. It was so easy.
You can.
Secondly, I do love the affordability calculator that it kind of, now it's just fuel and it allows you to adjust what your current vehicle is, what your current fuel mileage is, how many miles a year you drive. So it calculates the fuel rate and it says, hey, we're estimating that fuel costs $390 a gallon. We're estimating that electric costs you this, right? So it does kind of calculate those. What I'd love to see are some of the additional things, right? Like if you add in like a tire wear toggler, that's going to adjust the price up, right? You factor in three sets of tires over 30,000 miles and all of a sudden you might be back closer to where you were. So I like the affordability part of this conversation because we talk about that a lot, but from a like apples to apples, would a dealer or dealers get away with it? Definitely not. We'll see what happens.
I think
with
this
Tesla
is a big talking point for me here is brands that have a brand worth being a part of set the rules, right? Like,
well, consumers don't care. Like there were some Tesla,
exactly,
Tesla owners that chimed in on the LinkedIn post and they were like, yes, but when you go to the next place, next screen, everything is laid out really clearly what the pricing is, where it's coming from. And I bought that exact vehicle and I love it and I love the brand and they because don't see it as deceptive.
It was simple.
Yeah.
It's a brand worth being a part of, not just owning. And so that sets the rules. And so like, you can do a lot under that. And yeah, there is some transparency baked in. So from this is like, I look back at like when everybody was like, you know, die Carvana, right? And it's like, what can we learn from this?
Yeah.
What can we learn about what Tesla's built, what they've done, what they're able to do in the market? But also like, you know, hey, Tesla, come on.
I'm surprised we don't see more affordability. Todd Caputo, who a lot of you know, they used to do the fuel savings. They had something similar to this on their site years ago. And it's so you could calculate, you know, because he might have been like, he might have bought a bunch of Malibus or something. He'd say, hey, these get 32 miles of the gallon, save gas and buy this new car. But I'm surprised there aren't more affordability type tools on dealer websites. Search by affordability, right? And you're like,
well, and I think, I mean, best case scenario for me is like, how do you inject, you know, we have all these like insurance rate calculators that are dynamic and personalized. You've got, you know, F&I and tax, like the data is available. So bring it all right to the customer and say, okay, what can I actually afford? What can I actually buy? Because I think customers would absolutely crave and love the idea of being able to simplify that down to like a single spot.
There you go. Matt Lasher, Streamline. We're looking at you to figure this one out.
Come on now.
Speaking of figuring things out. Stop.
Segway. Time.
Let's figure it out. Let's ask everybody.
We'll call this the day after email. You know, customer satisfaction surveys are definitely pervasive. A new Business Insider article explores whether they really help businesses or just annoy customers with constant requests for feedback. So surveys have become a standard practice across industries, obviously aiming at optimizing customer experiences for business gains, not necessarily for customer benefit. Check this. The spending on market research, specifically customer surveys, has ballooned to $80 billion annually with a significant focus on monitoring and improving customer satisfaction metrics. Despite the intention to gather useful data, Business Insider saying the overwhelming number of surveys has led to over-surveying, making people less likely to respond, which leads to more surveys being sent out. Brad Anderson of Qualtrics, a leading player in this industry, says companies are using surveys to cling to unloyal customers. It's much cheaper to keep a customer than to acquire a new one. So there's definitely like a loyalty play, but also just a lot going on, you know.
Like if you go and check on the link and read in this article, basically, can you imagine being surveyed? They're like, you know what? Quality of the product is not what we're going to ask questions about. And that's, if you think about it, automotive surveys, all these stuff is about the quality of this, quality of that. They're like, no, we want to know one thing. Will you come back? Yeah. And that's, you know, so like net promoter score, like things like that, like would you recommend, would you return, are now like, they're saying, let's just focus on those because that's that what really is the driver. I think we would,
how easy is that? Is like just a single question, like some sort of net promoter score. I think it takes everything out of the question. And then like what I've seen, especially in auto, is these customers start thinking almost like harder about their purchase process than they maybe would have. Well, now that you asked that question and they didn't, are you telling me that it was bad, even if I did have a good experience? Like I've noticed that in the past when I was at the dealership, it's like all of a sudden someone that was a raving fan before the survey kind of like looks at it and goes, huh, they didn't do that one little element that you asked a question about. Now I'm going to feel less valued as an overall customer. It's kind of like the adverse effect.
Yeah. Without
and a shoot, doubt. I swear, I don't know about you, Paul, but I've been flying Delta a lot recently. Mm-hmm. I get two emails after every single Delta flight, both going and coming back. It's intense.
It's too much. I mean, you think for a company like Delta, like just pop that sucker up in the app like Uber.
Right.
Right? Just give me a thing. Give me a feedback. Give me
five, four stores, whatever you want.
Right. Absolutely. There. Because you're also going to miss valuable feedback. If I had a nice flight and my flight just arrived early or the flight attendants were really great or whatever, I'm going to give you a great review. How was your flight? The same time, if something was bad, if I was unhappy about something, the charger didn't work, whatever, my bag, whatever the complaint would be. By the time I get a survey, I'm so annoyed I'm not answering it anyway. I'm more bothered. And you're not going to get the feedback. Like, you're not going to know.
Never going to happen.
I don't know. Quick stuff. I think Uber's got it down. How many stars? Do you like it? Did you like the driver? Did you leave a tip? I don't know. Either way. If you're coming to AsotaCon and you want a billboard graphic, reach out to us or email crew@asota.com. If you don't know what AsotaCon is, you haven't been listening, but go to asotacon.com, check out the speakers. We hope to see you there.